This week on the Michelle Mortensen Show, politicians will do just about anything to convince you to get the vaccine, like a chance to win $1 million or even some Shake Shack. So yeah, a variety of bribes. Plus, Biden's babysitters are going to put him in timeout if he keeps talking to the press. And PETA names a cow after Kim Kardashian. Believe it or not, it was meant as a compliment, I think. The Michelle Mortensen Show starts right now. Time to get real. What a week it has been. Can I tell you, it's been a crazy one. I'm Michelle Mortensen. You're watching The Michelle Mortensen Show. This is going to be the best hour of your day because basically I'm going to break down everything that happened all week long. And then you're going to be caught up. Like you're totally in the know all the time. And this has been an insane week when it comes to crises around the world. Let's just do a quick breakdown if we can. So you had Homeland Security Director Alejandro Mayorkas tell us at the beginning of the week that the border is closed. All of this while Fox News was at the border watching hundreds of migrants from Venezuela cross over rushing waters to come here illegally. Cray cray, right? Let's just leave that one right there. Okay. And then, you know, at the tail end of last week, right before Mother's Day, we had these Russians from the dark side, like they're Darth freaking Vader, shut down a gas pipeline here in America so that most of the Southeast had a total gas shortage. It was epic. Oh. And see, this whole time when President Trump was in office, we were all about brokering peace with the Middle East. We had the Abraham Accords. We had things moving in a really great direction. Well, now that it's been 100 days with Biden, the Palestinian terrorists said, oh, heck, let's just screw that all and let's start bombing Israel. And then you have the audacity of people like Bernie Sanders, who's a freaking Jew. I just don't get this. Say that he stands with Hamas. It's insanity. And you know what? That was only the beginning of the week because the real insanity kicked off yesterday when out of nowhere, the CDC and Dr. Fauci, who've been telling everybody forever, like, you need to wear a mask. You need to wear a mask when you're alone. You should probably be wearing 12 masks. Wear a mask when you're in the car. Wear a mask at a restaurant. Wear a mask outside. Wear a mask when you're sleeping. Wear a mask when you're kissing someone. Wear a mask forever. All of a sudden, they changed their tune yesterday. And they said, oh, yeah. You don't have to wear the mask anymore if you're vaccinated. Not outdoors, not indoors, not in any doors, because you're safe. Something that science has been telling us now for, freaking weeks, months, years. But Walensky and Joe Biden just got that memo yesterday. It was amazing. Take a listen to how they described this whole no more mask mandate thing.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic. Well, if things get worse, there is always a chance we may need to make change to these recommendations.
Today is a great day for America. We've gotten this far. Please protect yourself until you get to the finish line. After a year of hard work and so much sacrifice, the rule is very simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. You all made this possible. Now let's finish the work of beating this virus and getting everything back to normal. Some may say, just feel more comfortable. Continue to wear a mask. They may feel that way. So if you're someone with a mask, you see them, please treat them with kindness and respect.
I love how we ended that one. That was my favorite. So we'll start from the end and then go backward. Okay. So he said, some people, I really want to know who, will just feel more comfortable with that little mask on. So you know what? Be kind to them. Be kind to them. It's their choice. Are you kidding me right now? Are you freaking kidding me right now? So it's been a choice the whole dang time? Yes, actually it has. But you fools of fear, you Twitter twits, have decided that everybody has to wear it. It's so freaking scary. And you shamed everyone who didn't want to wear a mask, even though it wasn't necessary. And there's ample proof that cloth masks don't work. Okay. Also, we're supposed to respect other people's decision because it's a choice. But yet, when Texas lifted the mask mandate, like over a month ago now, what's it been, like 2 months? And cases did not go up exponentially. You called Governor Abbott a Neanderthal. Well, on the same day, Connecticut lifted its mask mandate and you never said boo whatsoever. So is that, I'm sorry, is that how we respect one another? Is that how we respect choice? I'm so confused. And then Wexler, oh my God, that one. She's like, fully vaccinated people can now do everything they haven't done this whole time because of COVID. Who the fudge hasn't been doing everything? I've been going to restaurants the whole time. I've been eating out the whole time. My kids have gone to school the whole time. My kids have gone to camp the whole time. My kids have gone to tennis lessons the whole time. Piano lessons the whole time. We've traveled. We traveled in July of last year. Like, who stopped living? If you are such a fool that through this COVID thing, you stopped living, maybe you will miss the mask because maybe you were like, this is my best friend. People don't have to see that I'm ugly. I don't know. But I don't know why anyone is sitting there going like, I don't know. I really miss the mask. I think I just want to keep wearing it. If you're vaccinated, what the fudge is wrong with you? Not only can you not get the virus, but you can't transmit the virus. So what the fudge do you care? And wait a minute, I thought Biden said it's a choice. Oh, but did you also see Biden's little tweet? It's a fun one. So Biden made this tweet. After a year of hard work, really, and so much sacrifice, the rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. Okay. Two questions there. How do you know if I'm vaccinated or not? Can I just say I identify as vaccinated? Could I lie? Yeah, all of those things. Like, we don't have vaccine passports and they're in no way legal. That's why I'm going to help y'all here. Those of you who are a little hesitant or slow. Did you notice that within minutes of these announcements, Stations Casino was like, no more masks, the win, no more masks. And they're not asking for proof of vaccination because I know this is so hard for the fake woke Twitter twit mob to understand. You can't ask. Just like I can't go up to somebody and be like, do you have AIDS? Yeah, can't do that. Can I walk up to somebody and be like, are you blind? No, I can't do that. Can I walk up to someone and be like, are you autistic? No. Can I walk up to someone and be like, do you have cancer? No. Can I walk up to someone and be like, do you have the flu? No. Can I walk up to somebody and say, I'd like to date you. Do you have chlamydia? I'd like to know before we start this. I mean, you probably should ask things like that in this day and age if you're dating people. But no, that's like totally not okay. You can't ask people about their personal health issues. Sorry. But that's not going to stop politicians everywhere from trying to coerce you into getting the vaccination. Now, I'm going to start with the low ball ones. Like in New Orleans, if you get vaccinated, you can get free crawfish. I don't care about that. In New Jersey, there's places that will give you free beer if you go and get vaccinated. I could see how that one might track. My favorite, though, is from New York, where de Blasio yesterday showed us all why we should get the vaccine. And it's a whopper, a finger-licking good enticement. Take a look.
If this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination.
Vaccination. I love this signer in the corner who was almost like, What? Oh my God. Vaccination. Does this look good to you? This Shake Shack burger? Because I don't even think you get a free Shake Shack burger. I think you actually get Shake Shack freaking fries. But this is good. This is what I think of when I think of vaccines. I think of Shake Shack. If that's not enticing enough, over in Ohio, you could win $1 million. Take a look at this. Did the Ohio one not get up there? Oh, isn't that fancy? Okay, so in Ohio, Governor DeWine is going to give everybody, if they want it, they're able to enroll to get this, a whopping $1 million. Did I even say that right? I was waiting for it to come and it didn't come. $1 million. I'm going to upload it right now so you can see it, to get the vaccine. There's going to be like over 5 weeks time, five freaking people who are going to win $1 million for getting vaccinated. And you want to know what they're using to pay this $1 million out to people to go get vaccinated. They're freaking using Biden bucks. That's right. The money that came to the states to help them, to literally help them overcome COVID. Oh, yeah. That's the money they're going to give away to five lucky people. Five very lucky people to go ahead and get vaccinated. It's absolute insanity. It's absolute. If you have to con people that much into getting vaccinated, that you're going to give them the ruse of maybe I'll give you $1 million. That's just sad. All right. Take a listen. Watch this.
Starting May 26th, the state, Ohio, will award 1 million each week to an adult who has received at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. There will be five total drawings, and residents under the age of 18 who are eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine will be entered into a drawing for a chance at winning a full four-year ride to one of the state's universities. It's news that has the entire state and the country talking, while some are as enthused.
I think it's a great opportunity for people not only to get vaccinated, but to make money. It's actually pretty cool.
You know, you shouldn't be incentivized to get something for health purposes. And also, like, where's it, if DeWine's going to be giving money to people who have been vaccinated, like, where is that coming from?
You know, DeWine said it will be paid using federal coronavirus funds. The incentives were announced along with news that DeWine is asking the Ohio Department of Health to lift most pandemic health orders come June 2nd.
Wow. Wow. So now here at the very end on June 2nd, you're lifting all pandemic health orders and you're going to give people $1 million to get vaccinated. And a ruse to get people vaccinated. You're going to offer kids free education. I mean, I guess I can't hate on it that badly, but yeah, I'm going to hate on it because that is just so sad. Mind you, Governor Sisolak, not doing any of that crap. Now, a lot of people are asking, why on earth is Biden, you know, doing all of this right now? Is he trying to distract from all the crises, the ones that we talked about earlier? I don't know that he's that aware. I honestly don't know if he's that aware because I don't know if you saw this. He's not actually supposed to be talking to anyone unless a teleprompter is running. Take a look at this.
You guys are bad. I'm not supposed to be answering all these questions. I'm supposed to leave, but I can't resist your questions.
That was Biden to a bunch of reporters this week. You guys are so bad, you naughty boys. You naughty boys and girls. You keep asking me questions and I don't know how to leave. Who is telling Biden? Don't answer questions. Who's telling Biden to keep his little mouth shut and just read off the prompter? Who's really in charge here? Well, I'll tell you this. We do know that a report from Politico came out earlier this week where White House press correspondents are being told to transcribe the quotes that they want to use in their pieces, to send it back to the White House, and that the White House will have veto approval over their quotes. Wow. Welcome to government-controlled media. God, we become more like China every day. It's so exciting. And you know, maybe one of the reasons why they don't want Biden answering questions is because he freaking can't. Watch this.
Were you briefed on the fact that the company did pay the ransom?
I have no comment on that.
Huh. Were you briefed on the news that everybody already knows that that gas pipeline in Georgia that was hacked by the dark side, a bunch of Russians who you keep saying had nothing to do with the Russian government, which also is implying that what? There's Russians and bad people who have nothing to do with Putin who like to cause terror and trauma and do cyber crimes? That's interesting. So you're telling me all of the Russian influence of our elections these past 4 years could have just been from Twitter twits in Russia who thought it was a good time? That's exactly what we're telling you. But okay, alas, you're saying that you have no comments on the fact that, yeah, that Georgia pipeline, Colonial Pipeline, they paid. They paid the darn ransom. They were hit with ransomware, which basically means they shut down the system and say, you got to pay us this money or we won't let go of your system. So they paid it. And when Biden said, when Biden was asked, hey, do you know? He goes, no comment. I refuse to answer. So sad. So sad. Was it no comment because he doesn't know? Was it no comment because they don't tell him anything? Or was it no comment because no one scripted an answer for a question like that? I mean, really could go either way. Did you also know? Oh, I've got an article about this somewhere. Do you know that 100, there it is, a group of retired U.S. military admirals and generals, a group of them, 124 in all, signed a letter released Tuesday questioning President Biden's fitness for office. 124 generals and admirals of the U.S. military signed a letter questioning President Biden's fitness for office. It's because of moments like what I just showed you. Oh, you naughty boys and girls, I'm not supposed to answer your questions. You ask a real question,
no comment.
That's why. That's why people are scared. That right there. That's freaking shocking, isn't it? It should be shocking to you. All right. Also shocking is that Randy Weingarten, the head of the American Federation of Teachers, who for the past year has been saying, it is not safe to go to school. It is not safe for kids to be in the classroom. It is not safe with 6 feet of distance. It is not safe unless all teachers are vaccinated. It is not safe unless there are masks. It is not safe unless we're teaching critical race theory. It is not safe unless you meet all of our demands. So much so that the American Federation for Teachers was influencing the CDC and telling them what their guidance was going to be. And the CDC, like good little lapdog, said, yes, yes, keep giving us the money and we'll keep giving you money. And it's a great never-ending cycle of political corruption. Well, Randy came out this week and said, guess what? It's time to go back to the classroom. Our year-long vacation must come to an end. Watch.
Educators are exhausted. They're working longer hours, troubleshooting IT programs, and trying to connect with students despite the barriers, whether that's a computer screen or a plexiglass shield. And if there's an educator in your life, you know this.
Okay, Randy. My first comment there is, teachers are tired? Teachers are tired? Shut it down, Randy. Do you want to know who else is tired? Parents, the responsible ones, not the super rich ones that just got them tutors, not the super poor ones that just said, ah, kids, screw it. You get a year off. Nope, not those parents. But I'm talking about regular middle-class parents who didn't live in Texas or have the ability to live in Arkansas or Florida where there was school open all year. But I'm talking about the parents in Nevada, the parents in California, the parents in Washington, the parents in New York who have had to learn how to Zoom from home for their job, to Zoom from home for their kids, to be essentially the teacher for their kids because the teacher's only on the Zoom call for all of like 10 freaking minutes. And then it's like, work on your own time. Learn how to do mathematics on your own. Kindergartners, teach yourself how to read. Yeah. You know who's tired? The parents. And mind you, those parents, those working parents who've also been teaching their kids every day and trying to keep everything going, they're also the ones that have been trying to make ends meet. And they didn't get little deals with their freaking union to say, I demand this and I demand more money and I demand free childcare and I demand this, that, and the other. Yeah, they didn't get any of that. None of it. Zippo. Zilch. Not an ounce of it. That's who's really tired. All these teachers who are teaching from Cancun and telling everyone, don't put your pictures from your spring break on social media. We don't want people to know. Them can go suck it. Little Berkeley teachers union boy who was telling everybody that it's not safe to go to school while he was taking his kid to a private school every day with his little dreadlocks acting so fake woke. Yeah, screw you. Screw you. Screw you. Screw all of y'all. Because it was safe to go back to school in March of 2020. Sweden never killed our kids. Sweden never stopped teaching our kids things. Israel never stopped teaching our kids things. Australia never stopped teaching our kids things. And you know what's even more rich? You know what's even more rich? Do you know what Biden had to say earlier this week about the pipeline and the hacking? He said this, and it was real rich. We need to focus more on education. I mean, we're not the best in education. We need to teach people more about education so that they can code and do the cyber things so that we can avoid these types of attacks. Well, you know what, Biden? I agree with that. But you were the ringleader for it's not safe. Can't go back to school. You said, oh, in my first 100 days, I'm going to get schools back open. Y'all, San Francisco is going to have kids, the seniors, go back for one flipping day so they can collect $12 million from the government. You failed, dude. You failed. You fail at everything, dude. Biden, you are an abysmal failure. He's not the only failure, though, because CCSD is also a failure. I am in Las Vegas. For those of you who are watching outside, when I say CCSD, I'm talking about the Clark County School District here in the state of Nevada. It is the biggest school district in the state. It's actually the sixth largest school district in the nation. Why? Because we have a dumb rule in our Constitution, and not one politician has found a way to amend that yet, but they will amend it for everything else under the sun. But whatever, that's another story for another day. But a high school teacher at Las Vegas Academy of the Arts has been arrested on a sex charge involving a student. Let's show you his picture. He's a handsome one. Looks like he wants to be a member of ZZ Top. Or maybe our friend Jack from Twitter. They look a little alike, eh? His name's Lawrence. He's 37, and he's facing one count of an employee engaging in a sexual relationship with a pupil over the age of 16, and two counts of preventing, dissuading a person from testifying. Oh, ain't he a peach? So this is like the 1 millionth teacher at CCSD who's been sexing it up with the kids. And I'm also super confused as how are they even finding ways to sex it up with the kids all the time when you haven't been teaching for a full year? It blows the mind. It really, really does. I mean, I'm just over it at this point. All right, we're going to have to get ready to go here for take a quick commercial break because we've got a great next break for you. But keeping it with the Vegas theme right here, Vegas has been rocked by a story all week. A little boy, 2 years old, killed. Of course, we were told that little Amari Nicholson was kidnapped because that's what his mom and her dumb boyfriend told everybody. And there were people searching all over for that sweet little boy. And then before he got arrested, before the boyfriend got arrested for the death of that little boy, all over Facebook, before even the news was reporting this, all over Facebook, we saw little tweets or little messages like this one. This is from Amari's mom. I'm so broken right now, she says to some friend. What happened? She writes, my BF beat my baby to death because he peed his pants. Why did he do this? OMG, did this happen when you were in Colorado? Yes, happened Wednesday morning when he called me. He sent me those messages. So you're telling me mama lied? Oh yeah, she did. Now, there were a lot of people who said, oh, that can't be true. That can't be true. Well, yesterday, the news finally confirmed it because there's so many of you who just won't believe anything because when things like that happen, you think it's unbelievable. But no, here's what police say, Littoral Rhodes, this jackass did. The poor little two-year-old peed himself, which is something that happens with toddlers. So with a closed fist, he punched him in the face 5 times until he turned blue and died. And then they came up with a brilliant plan to act like he was kidnapped, even offering $30,000 rewards. These are the sickos that we have. Did you also know that when he was arrested, he did try to grab the gun of an officer and to run? Because, see, we've created a culture now that if you're a black man and you're getting arrested and you don't really like it, well, do something so the cops shoot you or attack you so that you become a saint. Dude freaking killed a child. But because we've attacked police so much, because we defended the police so much, because we've believed this crap so much that we spew out every single day, we are now giving actual criminals great ideas on how to get out of their crimes. It's a genius freaking world we live in. It's because we're run by idiots. Everybody thinks they're the freaking ringmaster, but they're all just a bunch of clowns. And y'all seem to be sometimes the audience that's just there laughing it up. But it's not funny. Not anymore. All right. You're never going to guess what the nation's energy secretary had to say when asked about the gas shortage. She's got a real interesting solution. We're going to talk about that, inflation and Bitcoin and so much more, because Bitcoin's been whoop, 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 roller coaster all over the place all week. We'll talk about that right after this quick commercial break, so don't go anywhere. Potato. Pat says potato. I'm the straight shooter. We'll just call it a lie because a lot of people did not get to keep their doctor. This week on State of the State, the healthcare debate is back. Lawmakers are considering a public option. You know, the thing that failed a few years ago, known as a co-op.
All this bill is going to do is cost consumers, they're in the middle class, a lot of money.
Even progressives can't deny premiums are way up.
Yes, it has gone up 10%.
So is the public option the solution? We'll debate. Plus, getting hitched is going to cost you even more in Nevada as the legislature looks to raise the marriage tax, although we call it a license fee. We'll explain why they're targeting tying the knot. And with just 3 weeks left in the session, why haven't lawmakers found a way to pay for K-12 education yet?
It's just disheartening.
Assemblywoman Melissa Hardy breaks down why there's such a delay on this week's State of the State. Watch on demand anytime, only on Grab It TV.
So, you're my fairy god, mayo?
Yes. I wield the power of Hellman's to magically transform any food into creamy, dreamy works of art.
With a butter knife.
This is a mayo knife. I just need time.
You know what I need? I need a lot more time. Running a TV network, hosting way too many shows, being a mom, and everything else is just too much. Don't you want to intern yet? Come on over. We got great shows like State of the State and so much more, and I desperately need your help. All right, let's talk about something else. So I was a little shocked this week when our beloved energy secretary, Jen Granholm, was questioned about the whole pipeline shutting down. Super high gas prices. Folks in North Carolina going to blows just to get some gas. Super crazy. And in one of her, you know, illustrious Jen Psaki circle back press conferences, she had this to say.
You know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you.
You know, you silly peasants, if you were driving an electric car, this wouldn't be a problem. Whoop, hold up. How do we get electricity? I think it comes from Zeus. You know, that Greek god, he like grabs a lightning bolt and bam, that's how we get. No, that's not right. We get it from wind, right? It only comes from wind. Or we get it from solar, right? Sometimes we get it from gas. I just can't with these people. She also, I wasn't able to grab the tape because I don't have enough time. Like, this was legit serious. No time. She also said, you know, we're going to find other ways to transport gas over there to those poor folks who rely on the Colonial Pipeline, North Carolina, South Virginia. You're feeling it. We're going to drive it over. But you know the best way to get gas places? It's called pipelines. She literally said, pipe is best. Pipe is best. So you're telling me the pipe, like the Keystone pipeline that Biden shut down to total virtue signal to the likes of AOC Green Deal hacks, that's the best way to get gas and to make us independent? Because see, this is the thing that kills me about everybody who's like, we need to be green, energy independence. You're an idiot because you think like, if we're all wind, it's going to be great. And then there's the people who are like, but I don't like wind because it ruined, those windmills are ugly and they ruin the beauty of the environment. And then they say, ooh, let's have solar. Solar's the way, but it's totally expensive. But you'll get hippies in Vermont, where I used to live, where every house has solar, even though the sun only shines 65 days out of the year there. It's freaking genius. Just genius. No, that won't fail. No way. Then you've got the people who are like, nuclear, that's clean. Oh yeah, they don't want that either. Those hippies up in Vermont and New Hampshire, they shut down Vermont Yankee like, because that was naughty energy. So they don't like gas. They don't like coal. They don't like wind. They don't like sun. They don't like nuclear. They don't like anything. But they all want their electric cars. They all want to drive a Prius and be one of the cool kids. And they all want to believe that energy independence means that we all get it from some magical god like Zeus. No, it's called diversity. But evidently, I'm like the only person in this country who knows that. No, that's not true. Tons of people know it. My next guest knows it. In fact, he's kind of an expert, not on pipelines per se. He might be, I don't know. But he is an expert on inflation and the economy. And that's why we invite Scott Garlis to come so very often here on our show, because he knows a heck of a lot more than I do. And Scott, it's really great to have you here today. Oh, you're muted. You're muted.
How, is that better?
That's so much better.
I'm sorry. I was saying it was great to be here. That was a heck of a lead-in.
Oh, thank you. I try for you. I know you love my wit and banter.
Definitely. Well, to your point about gas, so this is something that I've written about. One of the problems with gas prices and why we're seeing gas prices are the highs of the year. Forget about what happened with the Colonial Pipeline. To your point, with Keystone, and you have Enbridge, and you have the Dakota Access Pipeline. You know, looking to shut these things down is going to limit future capacity of oil and gas coming into this country. And this is happening right as the economy is revving back up. That is going to drive prices higher, and that's going to hit people's pocketbooks and bottom line.
Absolutely. I actually read one of your articles this week and shared it with a friend on inflation. And I know over the course of 2021, you're on about once a month with us. We've talked about inflation. There was a time where you didn't think that inflation was going to get, you know, too out of control. And I think part of the reasoning for that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we saw such a dip in prices because of the pandemic and things going so well with the economy that when we saw the correction, I don't think we were going to call the correction in inflation. If prices were down 4%, and they went up 2%. Okay, that's not truly inflation. But I feel like somewhere along the way, we've crossed a hurdle that I don't even think you were expecting to see at least this fast, this soon. Am I right about that or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's very fair.
And so where are we right now? Because with gas prices over yesterday, I didn't check this morning, the national average was finally over $3 a gallon. We haven't seen prices like that in 7 years. That's before Trump, for those who need to do quick math. The Nevada average, because we have such crazy gas tax, $3.56 a gallon for freaking regular. Cost me $70 to fill up my car the other day. It's insane. How high is this going to go? I mean, the inflation seems to be moving at exponential speed. And as Biden sits here and says, well, we just need an infrastructure plan. We need to spend $2 trillion here, $2 trillion. He's like Oprah, you get $2 trillion and you get $2 trillion. But there's no way to pay for it. And we keep making up money, which is going to cause even more inflation.
Sure. So Look, I think, yes, we're seeing inflation pick up right now. And part of that is from lapping everything that happened last year. So April and May are going to be the easiest comparisons versus last year. Those were basically the low points. So right now, PPI and CPI look like they're exploding higher. Going forward, the comparisons are going to get much more difficult. So if we don't see inflation start to slow down, that points to a much bigger problem. I expect inflation is going to pull back. But I do think the economy is heating up to a point where later this year, the Federal Reserve needs to start talking about pulling back on more of its stimulus. The problem there being is if they don't, and we keep the dollar supply just too high, that's going to destroy the value of the dollar, and that's going to continue to push prices of everything up, and that is going to drive even more inflation.
So I'm in no way an economist. I'm a TV person. I'm a journalist. I'm a TV person, which means that I am a jack of all trades and a master of none. I think I'm the expert on everything, but in all honesty, I'm not. But it seems like we've created a very artificial environment that we're living in right now, because I can't even understand how we have 8 million job openings, yet huge unemployment. Yeah. We've given people stimulus checks. They're using it to buy, from what we can tell, PlayStations and Bitcoin. Everybody and their brother's going on trips. Like like my kids in their class, they're like, all my friends are going to Hawaii. Like everybody is spending, but nobody's ever actually really making money. So it seems very artificial right now.
Yes. And that is a big part of it. So not only do you have the Fed introducing all this stimulus into the economy, but like you pointed out, the government has too. There's actually a report I read the other day that stimulus checks number 2 and 3, a bunch of that has gone down to paying consumer debt. So credit card companies aren't seeing as many charges. They're not seeing as many interest payments coming in the door. But yes, so we have created all this extra money supply. And again, that creates longer term issues the more abundant it stays, because it destroys the value of the dollar. And the more it hurts a dollar, you know, the more prices for everything's going to go up. On top of that, you're giving all these people extra income that they may not have had before. Let's say the average household income has gone up by roughly 11% this year. Well, next year, when they don't have that extra 11%, you know, how are they going to feel going into an election? I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be upset if they're not getting more money.
So I hadn't heard that number, and that's really disturbing. So people's income in the last year went up 11% because of government handouts.
Yes.
So this is just a bad situation for Republicans and Democrats. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on right now, because once you give someone an entitlement, you really can't take it away. When you take it away, they feel cheated. It's kind of like why you'll never get rid of the Affordable Care Act. You can't give someone free healthcare and then say, oops, not anymore. So how do we even keep up the trend of giving people all these entitlements to the point that you don't get them angry? I mean, I don't even think there's a way to do that. We're going to collapse.
It is. I mean, it's going to be very hard. You know, it's going to have to be pulled back, but it's probably going to wind up having to be pulled back slowly. I would think this is one of the reasons why you're seeing this push to try to get minimum wage up. But even then, you know, what's better? Is it driving minimum wage, which is going to hurt all these businesses? You know, I think this is why you have to try to let the economy work itself out and the business cycle work itself out. And that way everything plays out the way it should. This is what the system of capitalism is all about. But once you start to get in the middle of that and interject and decide this is what's best, and that's it, all of a sudden, you know, if you think of things in a straight line, you start getting things waving all over the place, and the metronome starts swinging wildly. And yes, to your point, that creates big problems down the road.
I think it's created also a huge appetite for one of my favorite topics, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And if you're into Bitcoin, this week has just been the craziest week ever. Because first off, Elon Musk, I don't know. I don't even know what he did on SNL. So that Dogecoin was up, yeah. Dogecoin completely down. Then we saw like two crashes at one point. Like we saw Ethereum go to like, I think it was like 43, 44. Then it like tanked down to 38, which made me say, I'm going to buy a whole bunch more. And I'm super excited that it's at 4,000 today right now. Yeah. But it's a wild ride. And I don't even think there's any rhyme or reason as to why any of this is happening, or is there, and I'm wrong.
Well, okay, so a couple of things going on. So what Elon Musk basically called Dogecoin more or less a sham. And then he comes out later in the week and says that Tesla is no longer going to accept Bitcoin payments because Bitcoin is environmentally bad, because you have to consume electricity to make it, and that makes people burn coal and burn gas. Well, one of the things you talked about earlier was with electric cars. Electric cars come, you know, electricity recharges them that comes from utilities. And guess what those utilities burn? They burn coal and natural gas. I mean, yes, there is some wind power. Yes, there is some solar power, but still they run on coal and natural gas. And that is just as polluting as, you know, mining Bitcoin. But
yeah, doesn't he make electric cars?
Yes. it's really, really an interesting, but now one of our analysts, this gentleman, Dan Ferris, who does Extreme Value, picked apart Tesla's most recent quarter. And you know where they actually made their most money? It was off of, one, their Bitcoin investment, and two, off of selling carbon credits. Because they make electric cars, they have these carbon credits, and they've been selling them to, I believe it's Fiat over in Europe. But Fiat just merged with a company, I believe it was Peugeot maybe, and so Fiat no longer needs to buy those carbon credits from Tesla. So all of a sudden, Musk is talking about how carbon's bad for the world and companies need to do more. So it makes you wonder, you know, is Elon Musk really sort of, he's gotten this name, you know, P.T. Musk, because comparison to P.T. Barnum, because he's a great showman. Is he pitching for another company to come in and start buying his carbon credits, because that has what improved their balance sheet and made them, you know, a positive earnings company?
Interesting. So when it comes to Bitcoin, though, it's still one of those somewhat unknown, because yeah. I still don't even get what mining Bitcoin is. And there's only so much that exists. And now there's 8 million things. Like Coinbase has been telling me all week, Cartesi is now available. What the fudge is Cartesi? You know, like there's so much. There is this fear for, I think, some in the older generation that this is all going to just explode and everyone's going to lose a bunch of money. And then that younger Reddit generation sees something like Cartesi comes up and it's 10 cents and they buy $1,000 worth. So is there any rhyme or reason to any of this, or is it just the wild, wild west of cryptocurrency?
So it's a little bit of both. Think about when we were younger, and think about, you know, one of the things we may have wanted was a TV console where you can watch the TV, control your stereo, you could shop on the internet, watch movies, you don't have to put one in the DVD player, all that stuff. We're there now. And that is what the internet was back in the early 2000s. And so I think the younger generations now, they want to transact in cryptocurrencies. They want to do more things like that. So we are moving in that direction. The boat is moving a little slowly. And so it's sort of the Wild West, because nobody really knows yet which cryptocurrency or cryptocurrencies are going to be the winner. Now, I personally like Ethereum, because Ethereum is going to be used by other cryptocurrencies and financial transactions. You will have to buy Ethereum first and then convert. And again, central banks are going to use this too. There is a cryptocurrency called Quant that a bunch of these central banks have worked on with MIT. And when you start to see like the European Central Bank and the Fed roll out their own cryptocurrency, you're going to have to buy Ethereum first. Now, there has been a change with Ethereum where the developers made this decision that as financial transactions start to happen, they are going to start destroying some Ethereum. That means the supply is going to be finite. So with a finite supply, as it becomes more and more valuable because people buy it, it's going to go up in price.
Yeah, I'm on some wait list to stake. I don't even know what that means, but I'm excited about it. All right. I also have another question. This might not necessarily be your expertise, but I've been drawing the parallel all week, and I'm just not smart enough to get myself over the hump. But in a week where we've been obsessed with the dark side and cyber attacks,
yep.
We've obviously come to a point where we understand that anything is susceptible. In February, there was that water supply in Florida that a hacker tried to poison. I have often been told that Bitcoin runs on this thing called blockchain, and that blockchain is unhackable. It's the one reason why everybody likes it so much. There's a finite amount, and it's on this thing that nobody else can penetrate. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard this a great deal. And there's been this question, well, why isn't everyone moving to this blockchain technology, from everything from voting to controlling gas lines and water supply? And who is the blockchain technology that you're going to invest in if that is going to be the wave of the future?
Yeah, well, again, that comes down to, you know, which cryptocurrency is going to win. And that is the big question. Now, from my understanding, from some of the Bitcoin experts I follow, and that the guy that we have that works at our firm, Bitcoin isn't necessarily the best blockchain technology out there. There are other tokens that have better technology. I don't know which one, but you hit on a bigger point that's the broader picture here. And I think we've spoken about this before. This is why financial institutions are going to want to move in this direction, because it makes transactions cheaper and they're safer. And it's safer because the encryption involved in the technology. Now, to say it's impenetrable, I don't know. I think that's a big claim. I think if you give some of these hackers enough time and they concentrate, they'll figure something out here and there, and there'll be changes made to sort of block it again. But yes, that is one of the big advantages of going to cryptocurrencies.
That's true. I remember when everybody started getting the chips on their card, and because I was the consumer reporter at CBS, they had me do a million stories on that. And it immediately became, well, the hackers learned how to take advantage of your chip. So they are always three steps ahead of us. I mean, they just are. We can't stop them. All right. Well, Scott, this was really interesting. I hope it was interesting to everyone at home, and not just, you know, you indulging me and all my ideas and thoughts. But we always appreciate your insight. And thank you so much for taking time to join us here today.
Thank you for your time. I enjoyed it as well.
All right. You have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. All right. When we get back, all the news you missed, including, for my old folks, the Fonz is in trouble with Twitter. They don't like him right now. And Kim Kardashian got a huge honor, but you're not going to believe it's an honor. Plus, did you know you could wake up one day and speak with a totally different accent? I've got the proof. And Dr. Fauci's old employee has a new form of art that's just going to shock you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So there I go. Oh, can't make a wife out of a hole. Oh, I'll never find the word. Say I'm sorry, but I'm scared to be alone.
You cut out a piece of me, and now I bleed internally. Left it without you, without you. And it hurts.
So then I said to him, you ought to customize your car insurance with Liberty Mutual, so you only pay for what you need.
Doug, can we talk about something other than work? It's the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weekends are a lot like insurance.
Yeah.
Yep. Hot dog or chicken? Hot dog.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
What's new on Grab It TV? Absolutely everything. We've got daily news shows, sports, weather, comedy, inspirational shows, fast cars, and a whole lot more. If you aren't watching Grab It TV, you're really missing out. It's free for you and free from censorship. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe today.
This credit app will save you money.
What happened?
That app is trash. Only with Experian's app can you get your free FICO score. Raise it instantly with Experian.
Download the Experian app now.
Cows. We're remarkable cows. And wherever we go, it's a fabulous show. Oh, you know we are cows. That's right, we're cows. Such remarkable cows.
You never know what song you're going to find when you randomly go to YouTube and go, are there songs about cows? And that's what you find. And you might be going, Michelle, why? Why are you talking about cows? Is it because of the Chick-fil-A sauce shortage? That actually tracks and makes sense. But no, that's not why. PETA. PETA has named a rescue cow after Kim Kardashian. There you go. To honor her no meat diet. Yes, yes. PETA rescued a mother cow and they've named her Kim Kardashian. This after she says that she is going to be having a dairy-free life. I don't know that I'd be so happy about being named after a cow, but there you go. The Keeping Up with Kardashian star has been vocal about her no meat, nearly vegan lifestyle, and now she's getting rid of dairy too. So, well, good for her. The animal police, like PETA, though, they've been on a tear. So, I think if I say the name Henry Winkler, like 30% of the audience right now is like, totally know who that is. Hey, the Fonz. And 70% of the audience is like, who the fudge is Henry Winkler? I get it. So there was this show. It was called Happy Days. It had this guy named the Fonz. He was really cool in like this 1950s diner thing with Richie Cunningham, who since made movies and stuff. All right. He's in a lot of trouble because, my God, the man fished. Look at this tweet. He's holding this fish. He's super happy. He's wearing his old man hat, glasses on his head. He's like, I can't even express the beauty everywhere on our planet. And you know what that caused Twitter to do? I cannot believe Henry Winkler does not care about the safety and feelings of fish. I didn't know fish had feelings. Yes, everyone was tweeting at him for being a member of animal cruelty. Because even if he's a catch and release, we shouldn't do that. It's wrong. So yeah, I mean, the freaking animal rights police people care more about a fish than they do, I don't know, our children, our future, none of it. But there is a Chick-fil-A sauce shortage. That's right. There are now people who are online who are like selling it for like 50, 60 bucks. Take a look at this Chick-fil-A video describing the dramatic shortage.
Chick-fil-A, by the way, says that industry-wide supply chain issues have resulted in a shortage of select items. Those items, the treasured Chick-fil-A sauce.
No!
I know. People are tweeting that they're selling packets for $50.
Oh, no.
They're joking, but I'm sure they take the deal.
Yeah.
What corner of the economy won't the supply shortage impact? Oh, that's a rhetorical question. I'm sorry. Mm. I didn't know that. I should have read that script before. What corner of the economy won't the supply shortage impact?
You know, ever since that boat got stuck in the Suez Canal, things have not been the same.
It's funny because my go-to is Polynesian sauce. I didn't hear anything about that, so I think I'll be fine.
Look, here you go. This is the tweet. Good thing I've been saving these for a rainy day, selling these two Chick-fil-A sauces for 50 apiece.
All right. Okay.
Sometimes you're just that desperate.
Is it sacrilege for me to say Chick-fil-A sauce not that good? Make me think of mustard. It's
you're dismissed.
With you, honestly. Right? I don't think it needs it. I think it's good without it.
Let's just be honest, Chick-fil-A's not that good. Cane's sauce and Cane's way better. You don't think so? Come fight me. Don't care, because I know I'm right. Also, that news team, like, I think I'd fit in well with them. I think they're ridiculous, but I am too. Didn't know that you could go in for surgery and wake up with a different accent, but that's real. I've got the video proof.
This is Angie Yin. She grew up in Australia, but
my accent sounds like it's from the southern part of Ireland.
The 27-year-old developed the foreign accent overnight. This is what she used to sound like.
Just calling to cancel my membership, and I was just wondering for the monthly payments that I've paid.
Now,
I can't shake it. I just did a job interview in an Irish accent when I've never been to Ireland.
In April, the dentist underwent a 30-minute procedure to have her tonsils removed. 10 days later, she sounded Irish.
I usually sing when I'm showering, listening to songs, and all of a sudden I was talking in an Irish accent.
The condition is called foreign accent syndrome.
Normally there's a trauma or a stroke or something that happens to the brain for this to actually result.
But Angie's case is unheard of.
Nobody that's had a tonsillectomy or the tonsils removed has had this, so it's extremely rare.
There are only 200 known cases worldwide.
Neuropsychologists say some patients only develop the condition for a few weeks. Other cases have never recovered.
Can your friends tell me that my accent is from a cool part of Ireland or not?
Perhaps when the borders open, a trip's in order. Crystal Etherington, 7 News.
I can't even believe that. But that's not the most shocking story I have for you. No, no, no. Save the best for last. Spence, put up the picture so we can all just relish in this. Why am I showing a lady in lingerie with weird art? Well, she's a former employee of Dr. Fauci's over at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. But she decided to leave Fauci and to focus on her art. Her orgasm art. Each one of those paintings is $500 a pop. The work is mostly peddled on Sanford's OnlyFans platform, which just screams class and not prostitution, where subscribers watch Sanford perform sex acts either solo or in tandem with her partner. And then while she's having an orgasm, she freaking makes art. And she's from Vermont. She's a Vermont native. That totally tracks. I lived there for like 4.5 years. It totally tracks. It totally tracks. Yeah, she's so devoted to this that she quit her $80,000 a year position with Dr. Fauci because, you know, she really wanted to make her art. And nothing says class more than talking about your OnlyFans page. If you didn't get that, you don't even know what OnlyFans is. Don't bother looking it up because you'll either get into it or you'll be repulsed. It's one of the two. All right. That's the end of this show. Yay. As you can see, it's been a hot mess of a show. No supers, videos aren't loaded. We are looking for help at Grab It TV as we are getting ready to debut a ton of shows. And I guess I will take that time to say that we are going to be taking a break from this show. May 28th is going to be our last show of the season. We will come back in the fall. We just really need to focus this summer on developing new shows on Grab It TV. So if you are in the Las Vegas, Nevada area, we are looking for new show hosts. We are looking for sports, comedy, news, talk, everything. Let us know if you're interested. Let us know if you want to work behind the scenes as well, because we definitely need a lot more staff to put together these great and amazing shows that you have come to love that are free for you and free from censorship. And we're going to take a little break in June from all the shows, just FYI, so that we can just get a handle on everything and then come back after the 4th of July with a vengeance. So be sure to check out State of the State a little bit later. I'm going to be posting that shortly after this show. Enjoy it. It's a good one about healthcare and the public option, the marriage tax, and why Nevadans have not found a way yet to pay for our education. They haven't been in school all year. Should be easy enough, right? Wrong. That and so much more headed your way later on today. So have a good Friday. Hope you've enjoyed your day. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'll see you next time with a little bit of Counting Crows around here, going back to the 90s in a big way. We'll see you soon.
Round here. We always stand up straight. Round here, something radiates. Maria came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand. She says she'd like to meet a boy who looks like Elvis. And she walked along the edge of where the ocean meets the land, just like she's walking on a wire in a circus. She parks her car outside of my house and takes her clothes off. Says she's close to understanding Jesus, and she knows she's more than just a little misunderstood. She has trouble acting normal when she